Next year is the sesquicentennial of the beginning of the Civil War. That's the 150th anniversary, if you, like me, were trying to do the math. In advance, the New York Times is running a special online series called Disunion, a fascinating day-by-day timeline leading up to the war. Today's piece focuses on a young actor in Montgomery, Alabama, on December 1st, 1860, playing the title role in Shakespeare's Richard III, the story of a despotic ruler overthrown and murdered in the final scene. The young actor's name, John Wilkes Booth, the man who would assassinate President Abraham Lincoln just a few years after that performance. Historian Adam Goodhart wrote today's piece. You can read it at hereandnow.org as Adam joins us. And Adam, put this event into context for us. What's the significance of this acting, you know, in the Civil War?
Well, I don't know if one performance in Montgomery, Alabama in December of 1860 ended up having an impact on the course of the war, but what I do think it is, it's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful snapshot of a moment in history, this night just a few weeks before the South began to secede, when a star was born on stage in Montgomery, a star who, of course, would go on to be the most infamous star in American history.
Well, he was only 22 years old at the time. You write he'd already made an impact as an actor. He was athletic. He had lustrous eyes and tousled hair. He had a mesmerizing effect on especially the young ladies. And he already had very strong opinions about the move to end slavery. And here he was in Montgomery, Alabama, the Deep South. What would he have been hearing there in December 1860?
He would have been hearing just incredible tirades against the election of Abraham Lincoln, against the meddling abolitionists, against African Americans themselves. The racism of the rhetoric at this moment in American history is just absolutely astounding. That's actually something that resonated to someone like Booth, who was known on stage for being the sort of actor who would kind of chew up the scenery, especially in a good, meaty, tragic role like Richard III, the hunchback king.
Well, and he also railed against abolitionists. He wrote, "Such men I call traitors, and they should be stomped to death." And yet you give this fascinating detail that the year before he had been a member of the Virginia Militia Company, and as such he had to stand guard over the scaffold where John Brown would be hanged. Now, John Brown, of course, was the abolitionist. And you write that Booth, even though he hated his politics, found what in John Brown?
He saw in John Brown, I think, sort of a melodramatic hero of the kind that he was trying to become on stage and then off stage for his entire short life. There are descriptions of Booth when he was a young boy by his brothers that he took an old army lance that he had found and used to gallop around on horseback pretending that he was Don Quixote. And so he saw John Brown as a sort of a quixotic hero who changed the course of American history with one bold deed and sacrificed his life for a cause. And even though it was a cause that Booth himself completely disagreed with, I mean, he was a virulent racist, he admired the old man's courage, as did, in fact, a lot of Southerners.
And then here he is on this day in 1860 on stage. The last line of Shakespeare's Richard III are eerie. You include them in your piece. Now, they're spoken by Richmond as he stands with a bloodstained sword over Booth, who's playing the part of the slain king. Can you just read those lines?
"Abate the edge of traitors, gracious Lord, that would reduce these bloody days again and make poor England weep in streams of blood. Let them not live to taste this land's increase that would with treason wound this fair land's peace. Now civil wounds are stopped, peace lives again, that she may long live here, God say, amen."
And again, it's, you know, just about a year before the Civil War.
That's right, and it's a remarkable moment because here is Booth, and he's lying, bleeding and dying on stage. His killer is standing over him, speaking these words about the return of peace, the end of civil strife. So, of course, in this little vignette, Booth is not playing himself. He's playing, in a sense, Lincoln, as Booth himself would have written the play. He's playing this tyrannical despot who has been slain so that civil strife, the Civil War, can be ended in America and there can be a return to peace. And that role of Richmond killing Richard III, ironically enough, is sort of how Booth ended up seeing himself.
That's Adam Goodhart. His upcoming book is 1861, The Civil War Awakening. And we'll link you to his article on John Wilkes Booth in the New York Times series Disunion at hereandnow.org. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.